Welcome to Dunzo. This is a podcast that explores hookups and breakups of famous lovers and friends, both real and fake, and all the discarded pop culture of yesteryear. I'm your host, Troy McEady. You guys, welcome to whatever episode this is of Dunzo. It is me, Troy McEady. This episode's going to be batshit crazy. It's going to be as batshit crazy as the movie that we're talking about, and I'm so excited. I am joined again by my friend Zach. Zach, how are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm surprised you don't remember your episode numbers.
I never do.
Well, when you have an anniversary, how are we going to know?
Well, I remember the anniversaries, so like in between, they're a blur to me.
I gotcha. Yes, this movie is batshit crazy, though, so I'm honored that you brought me on for it. I think this is one of the first things we talked about when we first started, like, DMing over social media, so
yeah,
it's fun.
Yeah, we've come full circle. We finally are doing
the thing. My second and final episode on the Dunzo podcast.
The second of many.
Yeah.
You guys, we're talking today about Lindsay Lohan's 2007 catastrophe. I don't even know what you would describe it as.
What is this? What movie is this? What were they doing with this?
No. Oh my God. You guys were talking about I Know Who Killed Me. And I don't know about you. I haven't watched this movie in a really long time. Probably since this movie came out when I was in college. I was like a freshman in college. And I think the last time I watched it probably was college. I don't think I've seen it in full since then. And I will say, it is entertaining. Like, I love a bad movie that's fun to watch. And I think that this is incredibly fun to watch. Like, I might even add this to my yearly Halloween list.
It is one of those movies. It's like a bad good movie, right? Or a good bad movie, right? Yeah. It's like not one. I think a movie is just doomed to hell if it's just so boring that you don't even think of it. But like, I think of this movie when I think of Lindsay Lohan, especially around this time. Like, this and Georgia Ruler, like, hand in hand in my mind. It's like, because she did them right back to back too.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that's my favorite period of Lindsay Lohan and that style of acting that she had, where she acted on screen like she was over everybody's shit, and she's like, yeah, I'm probably not coming to work tomorrow, just so you know. I'll probably be hospitalized for exhaustion.
They have to like incorporate her chain smoking into every character she plays.
Exactly. Like, this is the Lindsay Lohan. I want to hold on while you kind of go on about something. I'm gonna pull up her filmography.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I will say, I think this movie isn't good. I'm not going to, like, let's not get crazy, and I'm not going to defend I Know Who Killed Me for an hour, I promise. But I will say, I think that people were harder on this movie maybe than it deserved. Like, it's bad, but it's not like Geely bad. Like, it's,
oh God,
just, you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, no, you're 100% right. Yeah,
it's watchable, and I actually think it does some things really well. Like, I think that there are some aspects of it that we'll talk about, like the gore and stuff, that I actually think is really cool.
Yeah, it's do you know who Stan Brakhage is?
No.
So I went to film school for like a semester. So I got to watch movies, my film 101 class. And so I had to do a project on Steve Brakhage, and he was like an experimental filmmaker, and it looks like this is what his films look like, and because it is like wild. Like, I have in my notes here, what is this? A mind bender, a sexual thriller, true crime,
all my favorite mystery.
I have no idea. It's all the things. All the things.
Have you ever watched Twin Peaks?
No, I haven't.
Okay, so the director of this movie is very clearly fucking obsessed with David Lynch. Like, basically stole a bunch of stuff from Twin Peaks and put it in the movie. Really? Like, yeah, like, David Lynch is obsessed with blue roses. He puts them in all of his movies. Like, hello. Okay. In Twin Peaks, like, there's owl imagery. The whole concept of Twin Peaks is about this twin girl who, like, one of them dies. Like, it literally, he basically stole the concept, I think.
I know the concept of Twin Peaks, and thinking about it, it sounds the same. I've just never seen it, so I'd need to go back and like look at it. But listen, the blue in this movie is just,
I mean, like
I edit videos, so sometimes I want to get a little creative and I'll like turn it all black and white and try to like make colors on my screen stand out. This guy did it like times 10. Like every scene in the movie is like, we're going to have a blue. She drives a blue car. She loves blue roses. She's got right. Whatever, like, I don't know, numbing agent they keep pouring on, you know, the amputated limbs is like blue. I've never seen that before, but
right. All the alcohol we've got is blue.
It's wild. It's just the whole thing feels like a fever dream, doesn't it?
It does. It feels like just like a long sort of Tumblr aesthetic. You know what I mean? But like as a, but like yes. Making a movie.
Yes. Like
they really tried to make a bunch of stuff happen that didn't fully happen. Like mm-hmm. You're right. Even with the blue, like they tried to make symbolism like a really big part of this movie, like a massive part of it, but like none of it means anything.
Yeah. It doesn't, like, I think that's where the movie kind of fails a little bit, is that, like, all of the meaning is not here. I was reading kind of what some of the stuff that the director said about it, and he's got a 3.5-hour cut, like a director's cut of this movie.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, I don't even know if I could sit through 3.5 hours of this, but apparently, like, a lot of the cop stuff got cut out, and, like, maybe there was more, maybe the symbolism was more apparent there, but you see, like, like you said, you see symbolism, but there's no meaning behind it. Like you kind of pull back the mask and there's nothing there. Like it's just a Lindsay Lohan, you know, striptease movie. This is her right. Demi Moore striptease moment.
Yeah. And like, you're sort of waiting for the, like the blue, like you said, for it to all come together. Like I was waiting at the end for the blue to mean something, like she was being led by blue or whatever, because it's literally every single scene. Yeah. Is she's surrounded by all these blue items and they highlight all of them so intensely. And then at the end, it's like, well, no, he just likes blue.
He just likes it. It's just fun. It's pretty. I'm surprised her like mechanical hand wasn't blue, honestly. And what's weird is whenever I think of any sort of like movie, TV show, I always think of a color associated with it. And that's not even the color I associate with this movie. I associate red with this movie because of that same picture right behind you. Yeah. Like, can we talk about this opening though? I did not remember it and I don't think it's talked about enough. This opening was amazing. It was a fantastic fucking opener.
It's the best to me. The best part of the movie. I'm not going to mm-hmm. lie.
It's so like hazy and she comes out of these beads and it's almost like Lindsay Lohan just stumbling to set, you know, and then the title card is just there. I know who killed me. And I think the best shots of the movie really are when she's up on stage, like stripping. I think it's done so well.
It is done really well. And that's the thing is like, there are certain things about this movie visually that I think are really cool. Like mm-hmm. I think there are moments where it looks really cool, and Lindsay, I mean, let's just talk about Lindsay for a second.
Yeah,
because
okay.
Lindsay really, like, to me this movie is it obviously is really bad, but I think Lindsay carries the film it enough that she makes it entertaining that you want to watch the whole way through. Like it's bad, and if this was any other actor who wasn't just like really magnetic and like intoxicating to look at and to listen to, because her voice is also so cool.
I love her voice. Oh my goodness.
Like it's like ASMR.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like she is so much of the reason that you can even sit through this movie.
Yeah, it solely rides on her shoulders, because I honestly couldn't even remember anybody that was in this outside of Lindsay until I like watched it today.
Yeah.
Do you know fucking Kenya Moore's in this? When I saw her name in the titles, I was like, what? She's in the main fucking titles.
I just found out that Kenya Moore was in it because my friend Kai, who runs the Real Housewives Orders Instagram account, he posted it, and I was like, wait a minute, what? Kenya Moore and Garcelle are in this movie like at the same time? Like, what? Kenya's like a stripper in it? Like, what?
I know, and she like her name is fully on display in these opening titles, and she has like, we've got Lindsay Lohan, lady that plays the nun, and Kenya Moore all in one scene at one point. Like, how random do you get there? How random?
Yeah, it is. It's just like it's her carrying this movie. It's Lindsay at like peak, And this is peak, like, you know, if we're going to talk about like where Lindsay was in life during this time, like this is very much like the public sort of coming to terms with the fact that Lindsay Lohan may not be the Lindsay that we grew up with. Like this is a real transitional time for her. And you brought up Georgia Rule. And I think Georgia Rule is like really looking back, like that's her fork in the road.
Like it is. Oh, yes, definitely. And I, that's why I had to pull up her filmography, is because that for me is like the map of like where she was at the time. Because you can look at these movies and you can see exactly like what you remember from back then, right?
Right. Yeah, people didn't know if Lindsay was gonna bounce back. There was like this idea that like Lindsay could do it if she would just show up to set on time and not treat people bad and stop stealing shit and stop wrecking her car, then like everything would be fine. And you know, Georgia Rule was the first time we had heard like a director finally be like, look, I don't really have to fucking work with you. Like I will fire you. And I also remember this was around the time that people learned that Lindsay was considered uninsurable in Hollywood.
Which is like it still like is tagged to her at this point, right? It's like, and there's nobody else to blame other than Lindsay at this point, really. Like it was her own undoing, but she is still one of these like actresses that I still like find myself rooting for, like hardcore rooting for Lindsay Lohan. Like I thought, I remember seeing her interviews when she was like had the Liz and Dick project coming up, and I was like, this is gonna be it, you know what, she's on the upswing, she's going up. And she said in one of these interviews, she's like, I'll in 5 years maybe I'll be at the Academy Awards. I'm like, yes you will, she will, she's gonna be there.
You and Dina Lohan are cheering at the screen.
So me and Dina Lohan drinking backstage. You're like, yes, yes, she's gonna, we're gonna all be at the Academy Awards together. And it's just, there's nobody else to blame. She had this incredibly chaotic upbringing. And she's still really attached to these abusers in her life, the people who like really shaped her to be like this, right? Dina and Michael Lohan. And like, she's never really even, I don't even think, realized like what kind of happened to her, right?
Yeah.
So like there's the root of your sort of trauma, I guess, without psychoanalyzing her too much. But you know, there comes a certain point in everybody's life where you have to look at what you have before you and be like, where did things kind of go wrong and how do I fix that? And she's never really done that, you know.
Right.
Even Lohan's Beach Club, I heard that she, you know, still wasn't showing up for set on the damn reality show that she really didn't even have a huge part in, right?
Yeah. It's sad. It's really sad because she's obviously just such a self-sabotager, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, I do think that if you're a person of a particular age, like you grew up with her in a different way. Like we grew up with Lindsay in like a different way.
Yeah.
Than like younger people who just sort of know her now as like this former bad girl or whatever, who used to hang out with Paris and Britney. Like we grew up with her and we saw all of her trials and tribulations play out in real time. Like we saw how fucked up her family was. And like you said, her parents and, you know, her dad like showing up to her film sets after getting out of fucking prison and shit. Like she really stood no chance. And but you're right, there is something about Lindsay that people generally just root for, and you can't say that for all celebrities in her position.
Listen, she even had Oprah fucking hooked at one point. Like Oprah threw a damn reality show and $2 million at her and was like, we are fucking rooting for you. And I was watching, I was like, yes we are, Oprah, we are rooting for you, Lindsay.
Yes.
And Oprah was all of did you ever watch that show that she did on OWN? Okay, we ought to do something on that one day, because she literally, it turned into just her staff's show, or you know, the people filming it, their show, because she was just asleep most of the time. She would lock herself in her bedroom, and that's just the pattern of behavior we have here. I think that she is just, and this is what I kind of relate to her, and this is maybe this is why I root for her so much, is that I grew up with a pretty chaotic upbringing. And for a long time, I was really comfortable with chaos. And I think I would self-sabotage as well, because when things were going smoothly, it felt weird. It felt foreign, very alien. And I think that's exactly how she is that she is so comfortable in chaos.
I agree. Listen, game recognized game. I was raised the same way.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it took me most of my life to realize, like, you don't have to, I literally call it Lindsay Lohan disorder. When you are
chaos. Oh, wow.
Like when you're obsessed with chaotic relationships and fighting and, you know, like if your life is going too well, you'll do things to try and like kind of fuck things up a little bit. And that's very Lindsay.
Yeah.
And it's, I also always talk about the fact that Lindsay is full of these like, okay. So I was reading that this movie actually put her in rehab.
She was in rehab. Actually, she was going from back and forth from rehab to the set, wasn't she?
Well, this was the first time she had ever voluntarily gone herself. She wasn't put there like by the court.
Yeah.
And she said like this movie really traumatized her and like put her in a really, really dark place. She was having like night terrors and shit. And you know, I'm reading this interview and I'm like hearing it in Lindsay's voice, and she's just so full of shit, for lack of better terms. Like,
oh,
she's
yeah.
just so full
yeah.
of like all of those empty, like, you know, I needed to have like good energy around me and like just saying things that don't really mean anything.
Yeah. She's a great talker. She is one of those people who will talk. If you're telling, she probably talks her therapist down if she has one, and her therapist like, you're right, Lindsay, you know what, I should prescribe myself something. She is like a fantastic fucking talker. And when you watch any interview and they kind of bring up the past, and she kind of was like, yeah, I was in that point in my life, and like I did this, and like I promise I really only did like cocaine like 10-15 times, like I'm like, yes, I believe you, Lindsay. And questioning every other article I read, I'm like, that's fucking lie. I heard Lindsay say it.
She didn't steal that coat.
Somebody Hey, they didn't she take like, oh no, they were like, give sunglasses away for free or whatever, but she took like all of them.
And she did, like, she did steal somebody's fur coat, and then she went outside to be photographed in it.
She is like, I don't even know what it is, because she doesn't seem like a great person. Like, I feel like I would have a huge falling out with her just because she is like very out for herself. She would probably talk shit about you pretty hardcore. She would probably stab you in the back pretty hardcore. I fucking love Lindsay Lohan.
She's like a gypsy.
Yeah. Just like, I don't know what the fuck it is about her. What is that magnetism? You even said it. You even said it in our DMs, is that she just has. Troy sent me a clip from Georgia Rule, and it's like when she's confronting all of the girls who are like harassing her in Harlan. And it's just like, I'm going to fuck all your boyfriends. But she has like such magnetism, right? Mm-hmm. And I think the roles that she thrives in most are the ones that are the most chaotic.
I think so too.
This one.
People like to see her like that. And the thing that drives this movie is being able to see Lindsay Lohan be like a nasty, dirty, kind of slutty girl who chain smokes and cusses a lot and bounces her boobs. Like, it's like cool. Like, she's so fucking cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's just so cool.
Mm-hmm. And you went to college. So I know you know the girls that Lindsay would have been like. Lindsay is a college girl, you know. Yeah. she is a college girl who drinks a lot, and like, I think, you know, there's this whole conversation right now, you know, going back to that time and these starlets who were all, you know, off the rails and stuff. And I look at Lindsay and I'm like, I was fucking drinking that much too. I was like out doing Adderall and you know, all I did, everything she did, she just was on a bigger scale and then never kind of got off the chaotic train.
Right.
I think, I don't know. Yeah.
And plus it's like, imagine like your partying phase and like your college years and having people try and market it. Like, I think about myself during like in 2007, I was a fucking train wreck.
Yeah.
And I think about like, if I were a public figure and there was a bunch of adults around me trying to market my partying to the masses, like, that's a mind fuck. I
think about it all the time. I think about stuff like that. I think about like going back to like my worst bottom of the barrel days, you know, where I'm not even turning in an essay because I was like way too fucked up that week to even show up for class, you know? And I'm like, I am so fucking lucky that I was never in any sort of public eye at that time, right? And she was, and there were people like deliberately pushing this persona for her at one point also.
Yeah, like she has to be the new Shannon Doherty kind of thing.
Yeah, like something. There was just something, right? Because like, clearly she wasn't going to be Little Miss, like Disney Princess Herbie Fully Loaded. Like,
right.
And I think people realized that at some point and started pushing the, right. the other agenda, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Once she very proudly fucked Aaron Carter to be spiteful, it was like, oh, okay. So she's like a different kind of girl.
Yeah, she's just chaos. I just like chaos and Lindsay Lohan's names are, you know, those are synonyms.
But yeah, I think that this movie is a case of when a terrible script happens to decent people. Mm-hmm. And like I said, there's like, I want to talk about the body horror of this movie because this is considered like, people do put this in a horror category, right? Horror thriller.
Horror thriller always is like the same thing to me anyway. I know there's a difference, but it just yeah. I always categorize them the same. This is like this was around the time of torture porn, right? Like Hostel yeah. and that was like really big at this time. I can see it. I see it.
Totally.
Yeah.
If you're into like body horror, I mean this is the whole thing is just like limbs falling off in slow yeah. motion, like a lot of bleeding. Mm.
Skip ahead, like hit that skip ahead 30 seconds button. Okay. Her fingers at one point look like if you leave a hot dog on the grill too long and it starts like opening up and like,
no, like
just like, it's disgusting. Disgusting. But that was like on trend, you know? So like, I also think Lindsay was really good in horror and I kind of wish she would like go back to something like that. Didn't she try to do like a werewolf movie last year or something like that? I don't know. Oh, Shadow Within or something.
Oh my God, I forgot. I think me and Lindsay both forgot about that.
She just wanted a paycheck. It's okay. I'm for it. I'm for it. But she should go back to horror because she's really good in this. Like she, you know, had the Scream Queen lungs and like she's really good.
Yeah, her voice definitely, her like raspy, squeaky voice lends itself to being like mm-hmm. scared in a movie like this. It just, yeah, it really worked. And yeah, there were some scenes that I was like, whoa, I'm actually like feeling squeamish and I have to look away. And that's yeah. not very me. I'm mm-hmm. like, I can sit through anything. But like, for example, when her hot dog finger fell off and she duct taped it to the sink.
Oh my gosh. I couldn't believe what I was watching.
Like, I was like, what the fuck? And then she tries to needle and thread this dead black finger onto her hand. And for a movie that's so low budget and so sort of shittily made, the special effects were like very decent.
I think so, especially when she was like an amputee and we saw her, you know, her amputated arm, like yeah. that looked pretty damn real.
Yeah, I was like, how do they do a lot of this stuff?
I was wondering if it was CGI or if they had like her hand behind her back or something. I don't know. But I think this is like also like along the lines of like Halloween Kills is like Halloween Kills we think is just a really messy movie. I think this is a really messy movie.
Yeah.
I think it had a lot to say, but like, it's almost like when you say something too fast and like three different things come out, you know? Right, and yeah. I think that's what it was kind of, cause it was like the Canyons, you know, that movie that she did, the Canyons meets oh, yes. Get a Clue, you know, like that's what it felt like. Oh my God. Like she's running around solving a mystery, which by the way she never once tries to figure out who actually did this. It's only the cops that are ever doing that. She's just trying to figure out if she's a twin or not, but then we get the line at the end, I know who killed me, and I'm like, that doesn't pay off. No you didn't do enough for that.
Like all you did was chain smoke and fuck your boyfriend and like be mean. Like she barely, and the killer is the teacher,
right? Okay. Yeah,
all right, I wasn't even sure.
Okay, so when I was typing this movie up on the Amazon Prime, I typed, I know, and so I Know What You Did Last Summer came up, and I Know What You Killed Me. And I've realized that any movie that starts with I Know is going to be a confusing fuck tort of a yeah. mess, you know? You're not going to understand, you're not going to know. It's I don't know.
Yeah, 20 years later, I'm still not totally sure who Billy Blue is. I don't know who the killer is, and I Know What You Did Last Summer.
At least we know it's the piano teacher in this one. We don't know yeah. what the deal is, but it's the piano teacher.
And it's like, okay, so we saw him for 1 minute at the very beginning of the movie, and yeah. it was like, okay, cool. So,
and he had like that blue ring, right?
Yeah, he had the blue ring. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, so I fell for this movie's like trick, I guess. I guess mm-hmm. I fell for the old gotcha. Yeah. But it was just so there's no payoff. It's like, okay, so he was just mad that she didn't want to play piano anymore or something.
Maybe that was it. Because like this is what we're saying, is that this movie really rests on Lindsay Lohan's shoulders, because you don't give a fuck what people are actually doing in this movie, right? Like, yeah. I don't care about her trying to figure out whatever she was trying to figure out, or the cops trying to figure out who the killer is. Like, I didn't care about any of that. You just watch it. And when she's not on screen, the whole thing just kind of falls really flat. And I find myself like looking at my phone and stuff.
I agree. And to be honest with you, like, the acting is insane. Not just, mm-hmm. not from her, but like from everybody, like her parents, the acting is just like melodramatic, over the top. Like, it really, it's like these people thought that they were going to be in a Lifetime movie. And then they're like, oh no, the movie's getting like a big screen release, you guys. Like, can you believe it? Like, it is giving very much Lifetime, like, I'm watching a movie at, like, noon on Sunday.
I can see how they could have been fooled, though, because if this director really is obsessed with, like, David Lynch, imagine him, like, describing it as, like, a David Lynch, like, thriller, you know? Right. Everybody would have been fucking down for it. And they were like, just, if I need to, you know, scrub the counter with a scrub daddy while my daughter's upstairs fucking the boyfriend, I'm down here having a meltdown, I'll do it. Just tell me, you know, am I at a 10? Okay, I'll go for that. That I like howled laughing at that scene, because it's so ridiculous. Because it's like,
I don't know, leave the room.
She like is just sitting there listening to it. By the way, Dakota or Aubrey, whatever the fuck, Lindsay Lohan, right. Her bedroom's on the third floor. How the fuck is this mom even listening to this?
She's like, God damn it, I can't stop listening to my daughter climax. And oh God. Like,
and she's like crying, like having a full fucking meltdown. This, like, this is what women do.
I must say, I do love the scene where her boyfriend comes to see the new Aubrey, mm-hmm. and he's like, obviously really turned on, because she's like a hot slut now, you know,
who's like fucking ready to go.
Yeah, right? She's like she's like, I've had sex in a while because I was dead or whatever. So yeah, like he like gives her the flowers and she's like, Mom, we're going upstairs to fuck. He goes, put these flowers in some water, thank you. She like hobbles up the steps.
I mean, I would fucking be okay. I would be like this, because these people are keeping you in this house, not letting you leave, and calling you Aubrey. I'd be like, Mom, water the flowers. I'm fucking yeah. all day today. Go get the right. gardener from the beginning. Go get him. Go get the landscaper. I'm gonna fuck the landscaper now. Because what, and that was that? again, like, there's so much like confusion here, because then that is a moment that felt more Dakota. Because, right. like, they try to portray Aubrey as this, like, not like other girls girl, you know? I'm just into writing. I don't want to be a piano protege. Right. You know, like, totally. like, and it's just weird. And then she, like, pulls up to her house, the Seventh Heaven house, by the way.
Literally.
And there's this guy with a fucking, like, branch, like, stroking the branch while she's, like.
Yes, he's like popping her little hip out of the car. And she's like, are you pretending to ejaculate that branch?
That was Lindsay Lohan pulling up to set, and they just had cameras rolling. That's right? What that was.
It honestly felt like that, especially when she was like in the convertible and like waiting for the top to come back. I was like, oh, she's like, this is just Lindsay.
Yeah.
I just, the whole time I'm watching this movie, I'm honestly thinking to myself, I'm like trying to place myself in the mindset of the director at the time. Lindsay Lohan is like one of the most talked about people in the entire world. Everybody wants to know, is Lindsay's career over? Nobody knows what to do with her. Is she, you know, has Hollywood given up on Lindsay? And this guy thinks, I know what I'll do. I'm going to put Lindsay Lohan in a movie where she has a prosthetic robot arm.
And leg.
And leg.
And leg. She's got to charge it. They tell her, charge it. And she said, I forgot to charge it.
I'm like, wait a minute, did he just tell her to put her arm and leg on a charger?
I'm a fucking Apple, like an Apple airless or cordless charger, whatever the hell it is,
right? Like, so she forgets to charge it, she's just carrying around a dead weight piece of heavy metal.
Troy, all of the decisions for this movie, I didn't understand any of them. You know, the fucking hairless cat who shows up out of nowhere and has no real significance, but we focus on it a good bit. Like, like, where are we going here, man? What are we doing?
She's like, I don't like cats. And her mom's like, oh, God.
I know. Her fucking reaction to that. Were they even in the same room giving each other lines? Because they sounded, she acted like she just kicked the cat in the head, you know?
And yeah, and her dad, and then her fucking dad. The whole time I'm thinking, well, her dad clearly is like the killer because he's so weird and creepy. But yeah. I think it was just the actor.
Yeah, I saw something with him in it the other day, and I forgot. But like, he's in like everything, but I never knew his name. It's Neil like Dono or something.
He chose to play this like so weird. I was like, so clearly he's the murderer. Like, yeah. If he isn't, I'll be shocked.
Mm-hmm.
And when he dies, I'm like, okay.
Am I supposed to cry here?
Yeah, like
because she's like, it's okay, it's okay. And then the whole time he's driving her to the damn whatever, the damn house, she's like, Aubrey can't breathe. It's okay, Aubrey, breathe. Yeah. We're gonna make it. Because what we didn't explain, if y'all haven't seen this movie, by the way, what they do is like the twins can feel each other and they can like, they get each other's injuries. And so it's just this whole, she even watches a YouTube video at some point. It's like, yeah, if you're a twin, you're gonna, yeah, if you get shot, your twin's gonna get shot.
She goes on askjeeves.com.
Askjeeves.com.
I was like, okay, Jeeves. Even in 2007, I was using Google. I've never.
Nah, I was using Ask Jeeves.
Were you really?
I was. I thought it was the coolest fucking shit. Until I found Wikipedia, I thought Ask Jeeves was fucking amazing, you know?
You're like, Jeeves, another question.
What is Lindsay Lohan doing? And I know what you... No, I know what you did. Nah. See? Right. We don't even fucking know.
Jeeves, what's it mean when your twin gets hurt and you get hurt too? They're like stigmata, mystical wounds.
Oh my God, stigmata is another good one. Yeah,
stigmata's great.
That is. Did you notice, like, did you think about Britney Spears whenever we hear the writing she's done? And like share creative writing. Oh, right. It sounds like fucking Girl in the Mirror. It's like,
oh my God.
This is Britney Spears would have written the short story Dakota. I see it.
And like, what was that about too? Like, okay, so she wrote, like she was having premonitions of what her life was.
Oh, I don't even know, man. What was happening?
Because at times she's like a full fucking mystic. Like at times she's a full voodoo witch. Because she every time she looks in the mirror, she gets an hour long, you know, premonition. It's like That's So Raven all of a sudden, where she sees what's happening in the woods through the owl's eyes.
And it's like they it's just this weird twin thing that they really built up in the movie. Which, you know what? To give it credit, they gave a lot of story plotting to the twin plot. Yeah. Much more than like who actually did the killing.
Yes.
Which is like fun, you know. I was okay with it. Lindsay Lohan was much more at home playing Dakota than she was playing fucking Aubrey. I'm glad we didn't get Aubrey for an hour and a half.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I agree with that. I'm glad that for most of the movie, it's Lindsay. And it really is like, it's, you know, looking at this movie now versus when it first came out, like, there's a different appreciation for it, because back then it was like, oh, Lindsay's in a shitty movie and her career's gone to shit and she's dried up and all that stuff. But now it's sort of this crystallized version of Lindsay Lohan that is, you know, we only got for like a year or so.
Yeah, it's much more adds to like the Lindsay Lohan overall story rather than it has become like a cult classic. Cause I still don't see people talk about this very much. So I guess it really hasn't reached cult classic status. I wonder how many of your listeners have actually even seen this one, you know?
Yeah, I know. It does feel like a lot of people, even like Lindsay Lohan fans, like people like us, just sort of wrote this movie off. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, if you're listening to this and you haven't watched this movie, I'm not going to say that.
Go do it.
But like it's fun. Like it's a fun fucking movie. It's funny. There were times where I was literally like belly laughing. I was like screen laughing.
They have so many just like lines that they think are going to be, you know, some sort of takeaway tagline in this movie. Right. There's one that I have a couple of them written down here. Do I look like I'm in a fucking coma? Her mom was just trying to help her. Sweetie, just trying to help you. What's the random dude on the bus? People get cut. That's life.
Oh yeah.
And then they say that like five times in the movie after that.
Yes. I thought about you when she gave her she has two monologues where I thought about you because they gave me Georgia Rule vibes. The one where she's in the hospital and they're like asking her questions and she's like, she's just telling everybody to fuck off. And she's like, I wake up, like my arm's cut off. I don't have any fucking fingers or toes. I don't have a leg. Like I've got this fucking mechanical hand now that I have to charge. She had like a 7-minute Georgia Rule monologue. That was great.
It was good. But she's fucking right too. Like she doesn't, they're asking her questions and interrogating her and acting like everybody in this movie acts like she is just not giving up the information. She doesn't fucking know what the information is. Do you want her to say, I was stripping, I came and pulled my glove off and my finger was fucking gone.
And then I had to duct tape it back on and needle and thread it.
Oh my gosh, like who is going to believe that? Nobody. So like give Dakota Moss a fucking break, will ya?
And it's also just so crazy that they lead up to like the whole first half of the movie revolves around this, like, is she a twin? Is she not a twin? Is she crazy? You know, mm-hmm. what's the deal? And the big huge reveal for this like crazy plot is 3 minutes of dialogue with her and her dad where she's like, I know that you gave up another daughter and I got the shit end of the stick because you gave me to a crackhead. And he's like, nobody can know. And then that's it.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. And then she goes and rescues her sister. And her sister's in a random wedding dress in like a glass, like Snow White coffin in the ground.
Right. Yeah. And all of a sudden they're able to communicate verbally, like in their brains.
It's so weird, man. It's just they... If we're going to go full superhero with it, I would have been fine with that. Lindsay Lohan playing twin superhero. Yeah, they put her in twin roles a lot. She's got the twin thing down. It was weird. You know, the payoff wasn't really there. If you are a Lindsay Lohan fan, this is one of the ones to add to your roster of watching. But, you know, if you're not, I don't see you really liking it at all anyway.
It's funny that you mentioned that that they should have just leaned into, like, her being a full superhero, because I wrote that in my notes. I was like, honestly, when they gave her the bionic arm, I wish that they would have just, like, the payoff would have been really cool if she was able to use her arm to, like, fuck that guy up.
She did use her arm to break the Snow White, like, glass coffin, but she did it, like, right over her sister's face. I was like,
yeah.
Maybe do it a little lower.
And then her sister's like, oh, I was sleeping.
She really did that.
Like, were you buried alive, girl?
She could have just pulled it open, I think. I think it would have been possible. There's, I will say, Dakota Moss, I really enjoyed. The bionic arm, her being like a stripper, her like into detective mode and wanting to fuck everything inside. I liked it. I liked the character. I wish they would have started there and just built everything around that, because she like shined like that.
Yeah, I wrote in my notes that when she finally leans into her like new identity or whatever, when we get like the other twin, it is the best part of the movie. Like it's what it's pretty much what you're waiting for the whole time. Mm-hmm. It's for her to finally become, you know, 2007 Lindsay Lohan. And she looks so cool. She's got like this whole time she has like this glittery sort of muddy smoky eye.
I fucking loved it.
Her hair is black and this is black haired Lindsay, which, you know, Lindsay's hair alters all mean something very different.
What is your favorite Lindsay
hair color?
Just Lindsay hair color, period, of her career. What would you think?
I love when Lindsay is a redhead. Like,
okay.
I do love when Lindsay has dark hair because she pulls it off so fucking well.
Yeah.
But I like when Lindsay is her natural, has her red hair. And the era of her career I like the most, honestly, Georgia Rule. I agree with you.
I love that.
I think that is, to me, peak ultimate Lindsay, like the best.
Yeah. And I think she just was such a, like, here's the thing is, I would agree. I think I like her a lot when she has red hair. Remember when she came back to Glee and she like dyed her hair red again? And I was like so excited about that. I was like, you look so good, Lindsay. We're going up. Academy Awards 5 years from now.
We all
I was on that fucking train. I hate when she's blonde.
Me too.
Like when she hosted Saturday Night Live, like she looked well 40 years old. Yeah. But I really like her around the Georgia Rule time. I think her acting was just so natural at that point. Like, it gotten so good. And the thing is with, like, these actors, right, there's a term called seasoned actors. And that's because they're allowed to work and allowed to, like, hone their craft and get better and get better and get better. And she really just, like, hit a wall and hasn't been able to do that anymore. And you watch kind of her more recent projects and you can see kind of where she maybe lost a little bit of her acting ability and where she maybe, like, is picking up where she left off maybe like 10 years ago, right? Like,
right.
She hasn't been able to develop her craft.
Well, okay, so people ask me this question all the time. All the time people ask me, what does Lindsay Lohan need to do to come back? Is there a, can Lindsay Lohan come back? What do you think about that? Like, if you, in a perfect world, if Lindsay Lohan came back in a way that is like what you see as like the greatest thing she could do.
I hate being like a fucking Debbie Downer, and I hate really, like, I'm still always a champion for her, but I don't know if she can though, because she's had so many opportunities like handed to her and so many different like jumping off points. Like, people keep offering her, like, you know, these platforms and these things, like Charlie Sheen get, you know, paid off her IRS bill. Oprah gave her a fucking reality show. She had X, Y, and Z. She's had every opportunity to kind of revive herself, but she's not going to do that on her own. It comes down to her. And we even said that at the beginning of this episode, it comes down to her. There's nothing that can happen unless she does it, you know?
Right.
Like, she has to do this herself. She has to, like, get a project. She has to land a role, and she has to be there on time, no illnesses, no nothing. She has to show people that she is, like, wanting to work, because she says it all the time, right? She's always saying in interviews, I'm ready to be back on set. I just want to be back on set. I just want to be back on set. She's had plenty of opportunities to be back on set, and she didn't do it.
I mean, I think it's crazy that we've been in this loop for so many years, to be honest. Like, I was looking at stuff from this sort of era in her life on YouTube, and I came across her, do you remember her Funny or Die eHarmony commercial?
So good. Like, it is good.
I'm like, this is so fucking funny. And also, it was over 10 years ago. And the theme of the commercial is like her getting DUIs and crashing her car and going to rehab and getting arrested. It's like, it's just so crazy how long this has been her narrative now, where it's just what people know of her.
Yeah.
And it sucks. And I agree with you. I at this particular point, I think that unless Lindsay Lohan makes her own projects, like, I think that unless, I've been saying for years, I think Lindsay needs to start a fucking YouTube channel.
Yeah.
I think she needs to vlog. Like, people find her so interesting. I think Lindsay Lohan needs to get on fucking YouTube.
And she got on Instagram one time, almost kidnapped a child. I don't know if she needs a YouTube channel.
You have to come with me, watch a movie.
What was that? What happened there? Next time we do a Lindsay Lohan project, I want you to chain smoke about 20 cigarettes and then come on here and do your impression, okay?
We can make that happen.
And I fucking would. I'd love it. I'd love it. It's just good. But yeah, no, I think that, like, you're spot on, you know? That eHarmony commercial was, or that parody was over 10 years ago. And that's still kind of the running joke with Lindsay Lohan. Like, if she comes back and does like a parody on like Jimmy Fallon or something, it's still about that. Mm-hmm. Like, you should have been like done with that by now, right?
Yeah.
Because we really think about it and we think of all her problems and, you know, all of that stuff. She wasn't doing anything that a normal like college student wasn't doing, right? Like, she was doing that same thing. She just doesn't grow out of it. And that's what she got to do, Lindsay. Like, because I agree with you. I think she could make her own projects. And like, that's where I kind of wanted to see her, was like by now doing like a Reese Witherspoon thing where she's like hiring people and creating these projects and finding books and like really putting herself out there. And snapping up fucking awards, because I think she could have done it. It's just herself getting in her own way.
It is. It's funny that you bring up, like, I've not really thought about all the people that have tried to help her. I'm like, well, yeah, Charlie Sheen and then Oprah and all these different people have, you know, tried to be the one to make like a difference in her life. And she, I think at the end of the day, Lindsay at her core, and I don't even mean this in a bad way, it's just, it's survival. Lindsay is a fucking hustler. She hustles people. She's a literal gypsy. Like, she is like an old school fucking, gypsy. Like, she steals from people. She, like, works people for money. And
you know that sort of phrase that some people use when they say, or like, there's certain people in life who will be like, it'll all work out. It'll work out. You know, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. That's exactly Lindsay Lohan. She's like, it will just work out. You know, I'm in this really shitty spot right now. I'm not even going to deal with it. In 5 months, it'll be fine. You know, and that's kind of been her life, where she's gotten out of certain situations for so long that, you know, has she ever really hit rock bottom?
I don't think so. I really don't think so. I was thinking about that just now. I don't think Lindsay Lohan's ever really had a true rock bottom. She's always gotten out of things. And, you know, it's like, I think back in the day, people assumed Lindsay's rock bottom would be like jail. Mm-hmm. It clearly wasn't. She doesn't give a fuck what she goes to jail.
She didn't give a fuck. She's like, fucking hell, man. Okay, well, I'll reschedule my fucking wine night. You know, reschedule that. It's like an inconvenience to her. But I think, I'm like praying that her rock bottom is not going to be, because it could be something so simple as like she reaches 70 years old and realizes, I could have had a fucking career. I could have had like this long legacy, and I don't.
Yeah.
You know, and I hope that's not going to be her rock bottom.
And it sucks too, because it's like, even if she hadn't, you know, you look at somebody like a Nicole, and I know that like Nicole Richie and Lindsay aren't really like the same, because Lindsay has like an actual craft and Nicole was more so famous for being famous.
Yeah.
But like, Nicole figured it out. Like, at a certain point, Nicole was like, well, clearly fashion is something that I care about and it's my thing. Yeah. So I'm going to lean into that and make it my entire career. Like, Lindsay never had any one of those moments either where she was like, okay, acting isn't working out.
Yeah.
You know, she had like suntan lotion lines and,
oh my gosh, and her leggings. What was the commercial where she had like, she's like, click, pal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's so good.
And so, yeah, but you're right. You're totally right. Like, she just is hustling. She's just out there hustling. She almost had that one, you know, goal in the bag, you know, with when she was suing the Grand Theft Auto people. Like, she was like, I must have a payday here. And then she didn't get it, right? Like, it's again, Nicole Richie wasn't doing anything that a normal college student wasn't doing. You know, we were all drinking cheap alcohol. That was about the only difference. They had money to go and do all this stuff and to travel and be, you know, fucking misses. But you grow out of it. You leave college. You do, you know, you start like, I have to get a job. I have to do this. All of these people have done that. And she hasn't done that. You know, she's like jumping from job to job, you know, from career to career. And she's like, I don't even, what do you predict she's going to, where do you predict she's going to be in about 5 to 10 years?
Well, I think that she'll be in Dubai still, doing her thing. Actually, by the way, I had to look it up. It was Forn Arena. Click.
That's right.
Pow. Forn Arena.
I fucking watched it though on a loop. I watched it on a loop.
But no, I honestly, I think that she, I'm not saying this in a way to be shamey, but just realistically, I think like yachting and like what Lindsay does in Dubai is like her career now. Yeah. And it's like how she makes a living and how she survives. And I can't see, if it hasn't happened yet and there's no talks of it happening, especially with like early 2000s nostalgia having like its peak moment right now. Yeah. This is when Lindsay, like, this is prime time for Lindsay to strike. And like, just do something, anything that isn't like,
what were you saying? Something. Go ahead.
Just something that isn't like in the realm of like the canyons. You know what I mean? Like, for her to do something that feels like, wow, Lindsay's really like ahead of the conversation. Look at her. She started a YouTube channel, or she started this, or she's like working on this project or whatever. It just, I don't know. I don't know if at this point if she can.
I just like, she's going to fall out of a sort of public consciousness at some point. You know, we will remember her and we will, you know, the host podcasts about her, but like, people are not going to remember a Lindsay Lohan if she doesn't get back in there and do something, because even the Canyons, like, not the greatest movie, but she was in it and she brought so much hype to a project that was going to be just a James Dean, like, does a movie project.
Yeah.
You know, nobody would have, I would have never heard of the fucking Canyons, right? But Lindsay Lohan was in it. And we were like, oh, this could be a comeback vehicle. This is an erotic thriller. Like, this is, She could do something like that. She could just, I think what she needs, oh my goodness, right? This is, we're all agents in this business.
Ain't I, know, I know, I know, I know, I know.
Everybody rolling your eyes, I apologize. she needs like a guest role. She doesn't need to be front and center. She needs to be a scene stealer for a couple like roles, you know, for a couple projects coming up. I even thought like American Horror Story, she would have been great as like a long red haired, like, in Hotel or yes. something. Could you have seen her in Hotel?
Oh, American God, Horror Story Hotel. Yes. Can I see Lindsay Lohan naked with blood all over her smoking a cigarette? I've seen it.
Yes.
I can see yes. it again.
Her and Lady Gaga's tits are pretty similar, honestly. If you
yeah,
like, there's like totally. I could see it. And that's what she needs, because Lady Gaga is kind of on a not the same. Their careers are not the same at all. Lady right. Gaga is super focused, all props to her, but her career was kind of on a downswing. You remember? And like everybody was like giving her shit for Art Pop and stuff. She came back and did American Horror Story, and that fucking like catapulted her into yeah. another level of stardom. And like Lindsay needs that. But I also think that Lindsay is one of those actresses who probably has a lot of pride. And yeah. I wonder if she would do a project where she's not like the main sort of that bitch girl, you know.
Well, let's also not sleep on Lindsay's music. I mean, what do you think about
Lindsay? Oh my goodness.
I mean, can we talk about that?
I love it. Oh, what is your favorite Lindsay Lohan song?
Oh my God. Oh God. I really love Confessions of a Broken Heart, because I'm like
fucking Troy, man. Do you know I got it on the LimeWire. It was one of the many songs that contributed to a virus on our parents' computer. But right. I had that song like on fucking repeat. I felt it. I felt the video. I was like, mm-hmm. get it. I get it. Oh, my gosh. And you look at her performance of that, her vocal performance, and the fact that like that was such a personal song.
Yeah.
That you know, everybody saw, because I mean, even the video was so perfect, right? It's like her in this display case, and really yeah. she couldn't keep anything private because her parents were such fucking messes that they were taking it to the public anyway, even if she didn't talk about it.
Right.
That was such a good song and like such a good direction for her. I also really like Rumors. Perfect. Love Rumors. Amazing like pop love. Song.
You remember Bossy?
Bossy. I thought like I held out hope. I was one of the ones who held out hope for 10 years for Spirit in the Dark, the album, the third album by Lindsay Lohan. It's like Bossy, the first single off Spirit in the Dark. I'm ready. I'll be here.
Dude, I was like, yeah, like Samantha Ronson's going to put everything aside and produce an album for Miss Lindsay Lohan, and it's gonna be so good.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to also see Lindsay. I know she's like released singles.
I didn't like Xanax. Did you hear Xanax?
I didn't like it either.
It just didn't have that catchiness, right? Like there was something catchy about her earlier music. Like you, I even still hear Bossy in movies and TV shows sometimes. Like it's a song that has she never did a video for it. She never promoted it, but like still lives on.
Yeah.
And I wonder why that is.
It's got such MySpace energy, right? That song.
But it does, yeah. Coding like, my background.
Well, I don't know. Do you have anything else? I don't know what else to say about this movie, to be honest with you.
Not so much to say about this movie, just her, I guess, right? Just this was like, I'm looking at her filmography and like she just didn't even have that many titles to it.
No, you know?
She didn't do a whole lot even before this movie, I think. And her peak was, it was Just My Luck, right? She got $7 million for that.
Yeah, and also I think that it should be stated that like Disney fucks people.
Oh yeah.
Like
oh,
they
yeah.
fuck people. And whatever mm-hmm. her career could have been, you know, like I'm not gonna say that Lindsay didn't have any part in dismantling her own public image, but like the pedestal and the way that Disney presents people to the world is so unfair because it's not real. So then when you do finally get to like be yourself, people are shocked by it. It's just it's really a fool's game to get caught up in the whole Disney thing, because at the end of the day it's like those movies are iconic
mm-hmm.
and they mean a whole lot to her career and stuff, but like it also kind of fucked her that she's the girl from Herbie Fully Loaded.
Yeah, it really did, because you know she gains this, Disney gives her these fans, right? She like gets them through all these Disney projects and this Disney image, and then when she doesn't live up to that, those fans are the first ones to like you know, call her trash and call her a hot mess, and you know, she's on the soup, and you know, like that you're 100% right. Like, that Disney image just screws like just about anybody who's in Disney.
Yeah,
I don't know many people who haven't been. Like, when you find out that Hillary Duff has a condom in her purse, like, what are you crazy? Is that what is happening there? I don't know. I don't think it's like, we don't really have Disney stars like that anymore, do we? We have Olivia Rodrigo, but she is pretty edgy for, she would never have been like a 2005 Disney like pop star.
No, yeah, like the formula I think is kind of dead, right? Like,
they're letting them just do their own thing now, kinda.
Yeah. And plus, if you think about it, it's like all of them had to, I can't think of one that didn't have to fight for, I mean, years. Yeah. I mean, think about all the years that Miley Cyrus spent like trying to dismantle Hannah Montana. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I love that. I love seeing her kind of like play around with it now that it's not such a source of like trauma for her.
Yeah.
Because you think about Miley Cyrus and like a public like lashing. Yeah. She had it. She had it pretty bad too. She couldn't even tour in America for the Gypsy Heart tour, you know, because fucking Americans hated her so much for smoking the bong,
with a bunch of other kids, like having fun. It's like, are you kidding me? And you think this is the worst thing she's done? This is like a Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, that was just the thing that got caught on camera, man. Like, I remember her leaked bra pictures coming up on the internet, you know?
Oh my God.
And being like, that is crazy. That is wild. Or when I heard her say damn one time in a YouTube video, and I'm like, what the hell is this girl doing?
I love for absolutely no reason. Me and my friend Katie both love, is that my friend Leo? And I love saying that to her out of context.
She is like fucking normal. She does normal people stuff, and she's probably really fucking annoying and like, you know, annoys a lot of people. But like, she for some reason was this, you know, big Disney pop star that made them so much money that, you know, she has to be the cool chick, but like the cool chick who doesn't do drugs or anything, right? Like, that's what she had to be. And I just loved when she finally went full. Like, you know why Bangers was such a big fucking album for her and will always be her staple is because it was her I Don't Give a Fuck Anymore album. Like,
yeah,
you guys have already torn me down as much as you can tear me down. And here's my tongue.
I mean, I say it every time I talk about her, but I'll never forget her saying in an interview during that time that she had a conversation with Pharrell and he told her to just keep doing anything she like thought about, like whatever she wanted to do, to just fucking do it and never second guess it and just like go with her gut. And she really did that.
She did. And interesting parallel also, because we talk about like the Disney machine and what they do to like these stars. Lindsay Lohan. So Lindsay Lohan never had the point where she came to a point in her career and was like, okay, I'm going to do it anyway. You guys think I'm shitty anyway. I'm going to keep. She still is like making excuses and like kind of like, oh, it wasn't that bad. It has, you know, I'm not that bad. I'm pretty good, actually. Like, people just give me a hard time. Whereas Miley Cyrus was like, if you think I'm that bad, then I guess I can't change your mind. But Lindsay Lohan is still trying to change minds, you know? Maybe if she would have had a point in her career where she kind of just like was like, okay, you know, I mean, what else can you say about me? Then maybe she could have done something too.
Well, it also doesn't help that she was so good at, I mean, Lindsay was so good at lying. She was so good at, like, you know, I it's funny because I think she's really bad at social media now. Mm-hmm. And she's really bad at kind of being, Paris, I think, is actually like this in many ways too, but obviously nowhere near as bad as Lindsay, where they just haven't fully adapted to like the way to be famous now.
Yeah.
Paris is sort of like white knuckling it, I think. And like that documentary really helped her a lot, but Lindsay has not figured it out. Like, she can't figure out social media. She can't figure out the TikTok. Like, she's just like not that girl. But during her heyday, Lindsay was so fucking good at media manipulation, at tabloid era fame. Mm-hmm. Like, when everybody was waiting with bated breath for Lindsay Lohan to say something to a paparazzi camera when she left a restaurant, and she'd say Paris is a cunt. That was a month.
Dude, that fucking meme. I love to read it, and I will stop and I will save it to my. I have it saved about 50 times in my phone. Paris is a cunt. What did you say about Paris? I didn't say nothing. Paris is my friend.
He's been my friend for years. Stop tearing us apart.
It's so fucking funny. But like, you're right. Like, and a big thing with like. What people want from their stars now is like open honesty. We want these conversations about mental health and all that. Lindsay Lohan is still not giving that. She doesn't deserve. She doesn't owe it to anybody. She doesn't owe like a trauma dump to everybody. But I also think that does play into like why maybe she hasn't picked up on social media as much, because she could seriously do like if she did a YouTube channel talking about like in an honest way, hey, my life has been kind of fucked up, or like did a Paris, you know, sort of documentary, like. It would gain traction. She would have an audience there, and she would probably gain a new audience. But I don't think she's ever even unpacked any of her trauma. It doesn't seem like.
I don't think so either. And I do think that if she did something like that, it would look a lot like her Oprah show. You know, just like her in her house, just sort of being Lindsay, like chain smoking and filming herself in the mirror. And
it's all I want. And it would be all I want, just like some honest conversations, because what was missing from the Oprah show was that they would ask her the serious questions and she would immediately shut people down, and she would say, I told you not to talk about that on camera. You talked about that on camera, AJ, you're out of my life now.
Right.
You know, like, but like that's Lindsay Lohan is very much a Courtney Love, where she probably sits on her floor in front of a big ass mirror, trying on clothes and smoking and burning coals in the ceiling. Like, I guarantee that's Lindsay Lohan's life. I would love to watch it, because I grew up in Texas. Trailer trash. I've seen a lot of that. It's very endearing to my heart.
Oh my God. No, you're right though. That is her life. Yeah. And I would pay money to watch her just like go through her closet. The thought of Lindsay Lohan holding a camera and chain smoking and going through her closet.
Do you remember her like realizing that there was a thrift store downstairs below her apartment and taking all of her clothes just to trade them for more clothes?
And like just literally taking little, we saw it firsthand, taking little things like that and turning it into as big of a production
chaos
as she can. Yeah, like how chaotic can I make thrifting?
Yep.
You know, and it's like, okay, well, then I'll have my mom come over and we'll dig through all this stuff and turn it really dramatic. And I'll dramatically go down there and bring stuff, but then buy stuff. Like everything has to be amplified times a million.
They couldn't even deliver fucking furniture to her house because she sent it back and she made them go through the truck and like pick certain things out because she didn't want everything delivered to her house. She does that shit. That is Lindsay Lohan to a fucking T. But you know what, Troy? We're going to be here in the front row for I Know Who Killed Me 3.
Oh,
or two. Sorry, we got to get to two first. We'll be here. Whatever you want to do, Lindsay, we'll be here. I do hope that we see something from her one day soon.
Me too. Lindsay, we are always rooting for you. You have us in a chokehold in a way that I truly can't explain. I don't really understand it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I'll never not care about what she's doing.
I know. Yep. 100%. I agree. Well, Lindsay, 5 years from now, Oscars, we're going to be there.
She's done with mugshot. She's ready for her Oscar.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, do you have any closing thoughts about this movie or about Lindsay in general?
Not really about this movie, but, you know, just everything that's been repeated over and over on this one. Like, we're fucking rooting for Lindsay Lohan. And if I want to see her play like I want to see her play. This will be my closing thought. Okay. The role I want to see her do is like a hoarder who lives in her house and doesn't open the front door for anybody. I want to see that. And she smokes. Okay. She's got to smoke.
Okay.
What role do you want to see her play before she closes it out?
I would love to see her in some sort of it's funny, I'm going to say a thriller, but like a thriller where she's like a bionic arm or something and she lost her leg. No, I would love to see her in a thriller, like a really good suspense thriller that's actually like really well done. That or something, honestly, something like art housey, like an indie movie, like a fun, like a Francis Ha or something like that. Like a cool, like.
Did you watch Suspiria, the remake?
Yeah.
I could see.
I would love to see Lindsay in a movie like that. Like, just something very, as Britney would say, artsy fartsy.
Oh my God, I love it. Yes. That's so that'll be on the poster too, is Britney's comment. It was very artsy fartsy.
Yeah. I thought it was really cool.
I love it.
Well, Zachary, tell people where they can find all of your things and everything you're working on in your YouTube channel and your podcast and stuff.
Oh, goodness. I'll leave the YouTube channel to rest. I'm a co-host of My Bloody Judy, and we over on youtube.com/AZB bonus features or on SlayerFest 98 podcasting platform. Everywhere you listen to podcasts, we do My Bloody Judy. It's a horror podcast. We talk about movies, and throughout October we did like a Road to Halloween Kills, so it's the most recent thing we have. But yeah,
it's great. I've been on it. It's great. It's
you have fun. Yes. That was a good episode. I'd suggest going and listen to that one because it was good.
Yeah, it's really, really fun. If you guys like horror stuff, like, you should definitely follow, and Ian is great. Zach's co-host. It's fun.
I think we're still trying to figure out sort of like our just the way we're doing it, because I don't think the way we do it is, you know, right now the way we do it is we kind of do a run through of the movie, you know, scene by scene, and I don't think we're gonna stick with that. So suggestions welcome, I guess. Let me say also, I'm sorry for making it so long.
No, you're fine.
I got the nicest messages after I came on the last time, and so to all of those people and to your viewers and listeners, you know, y'all are some nice damn people, and that made me feel really good and cool. I appreciate it, and I thank you, Troy, for having me on.
You are so very welcome. You are, I mean, honestly, you have open door policy on this podcast whenever you want.
Don't do that.
Well, you guys go follow Zach's podcast and watch or listen to our episode. And thank you for doing this with me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for listening to Dunzo. This podcast is a part of the Solid Listen Network. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe if you haven't already. Also, be sure to check out our Patreon at patreon.com/solidlisten for exclusive content. You can follow me on Twitter at Troy McGee, and you can follow the podcast on all forms of social media at DunzoPod. That's D-U-N-Z-O. Thank you to executive producer Molly McAleer and coordinating producer Nicole Matthew.